Amen. Praise the Lord. We have just finished a series on the book of Hebrews. And that was a powerful topic for each and every one of us regarding faith. So we are now entering the book of James. And it has a different character in itself. And when I was wrestling on what would be the title of the topic for this morning, I went into hearers and doers of the word and what have you, toasting things around. And eventually it just fell in my spirit, the true witness. And when hearing is not enough. And we have heard so much already in Scripture. A lot of us already have gone through different seminars and preachings and what have you. It's just right for us to pause and assess ourselves whether we are in faith truly, qualifying it by our deeds. For a recap, the year's theme that we have is the King is coming. And the drive for this is to give us that urgency that, hey, Jesus is coming soon. And so we have topics in the relentless grace of God, purity of the bride, the perfect groom, kingly authority, Jesus is greater, the blood of Jesus, the immutable King. And so that drive actually is to steer our spirits into a higher level of faith walk with God. That is the intentionality of it. That we would not be comfortable in the place of our faith that is ineffective or unproductive in our personal life and also with those people that we mingle with. Romans 12:2, before we go to the book of James here, it says here, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. God has a good, pleasing, and perfect will for each and every one of us. And that is a place where we are productive in our faith in Him. Amen? We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We are in a higher, our calling is in a higher level of faith, brothers and sisters. And it's a challenge for us. So last Sunday, we have a wonderful message from our elder, Eric Bilarga, about the Faith's Hall of Fame. And the question was posed by our elder, would you like to imagine to put your name in that Hall of Fame? And I would like to be in that Hall of Fame, and you would as well, in this time and in this age. The Hall of Fame has been recorded in Scripture to their privilege for us to see what they have done and their stories. But we have this privilege in our time also to impact the generation where we are. 1 Corinthians 13:3 says, three things remain: faith, hope, and love. And we know this. Faith, hope, and love. The Scripture is inviting us to realize that faith is the foundation of all things. It starts there, and it expresses itself outside. It is very important. The centrality of our faith walk is pleasing God. It is pleasing God. How many of us here would honestly say in their heart that I am pleasing to God today? Could you honestly say that I am where I function in my school, in my workplace, or in my household, I am pleasing to God. Then, brothers and sisters, that is tied up with your faith walk. It is tied up with your faith walk. True faith is evidence-based. It is always evidence-based. And we have this word in Greek, pisteo, firmly persuaded, or faith is translated as firmly persuaded. It implicates a trust to the Lordship and submission to the Lordship of Christ. It calls that. Like if we have to have surgery, and there is this surgeon that we is assigned to do our surgery, we need to have faith that he knows what he's doing, right? So there's a solicitation for submission to the skills and the power of that surgeon. Faith renounce. Elder Eric's conclusion is very important last week. And it says that the faith renounces one's own righteousness. You don't base things on yourself anymore. You abandon your faith, your trust for yourself, and abandon it to the Lord. Faith produces true obedience. That's the second point. That's the second conclusion that he had. And the third conclusion is faith esteemed the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. If only we could walk this way, brothers and sisters, then we are having true faith. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of God. But it doesn't stop there. The hearing is important, but the application is much more important than the hearing. In James chapter 1, which is our text this morning, it says here, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all mortal filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word and does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking himself away, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongue deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." Before going much deeper, true faith has carries a powerful effect for each and every one of us. Don't look at faith lightly. It is so effective and powerful. Actually, the Lord, from the Lord's lip, it says here in Matthew 17:20, "Faith as small as a mustard seed, you could speak to the mountain and talk to the mountain, and the mountain will be removed." Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "It is by grace that we have been saved." Brothers and sisters, faith should not be underestimated as it is given to us by the word of God. It says here, as we like to go on to part one of this message, and the title of this part one is, "The Word Gives Us Spiritual Birth." It is because of our confession and belief by faith that has enrolled us into the family of God. That's why the book of James actually is for the family of God. That's why our brother James said, brothers and sisters. He started it out with brothers and sisters, right? He said, dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. So it's addressing us, which are enrolled in the family of God. True faith has enrolled us into the eternal kingdom and family of God Almighty. And he says here, John 10, 28 to 30, I give them eternal life. No one could snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is more powerful than all. No one could snatch them out of the Father's hand. Now, this is such an important topic for each and every one of us because of this. We are so trained, the body of Christ is so trained in performance. We have to perform to do this or have this. In other words, if I am not performing according to what I think or what other people think, maybe I am not saved. So this is... I could not emphasize this so much that once you are born again, you cannot be unborn again. In other words, your security and my security in the family of God, no one could topple, not even Satan. However, there is this scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed, behold, the new has come. Meaning to say that there is this solicitation for transformation. We are supposed to be, if we are in faith in Christ, we are supposed to be in a higher level of functionality in this world. We are in this world, but we are not of this world, right? So the problem is, there is devaluing of our inheritance as testified by the word of God. There is this devaluing of our inheritance in Christ. Or there is this ignorance to the power of the new birth. We cannot be unborn again when we become born again. There is no reversal of our status in God. Caleb would always be my Caleb or my son. Bethany would always be my daughter. And nothing could change that because that's the status. So the book of James is addressed to brothers and sisters. Let's bring us to the second point here. The word is like a seed planted in the heart that produces spiritual fruit. If you are in Christ, there should be this manifestation of a spiritual fruit coming from each and every one of us. True faith will always produce a changed life transformed by the Holy Ghost. Right? Sometimes it's just wise to look at ourselves and say, is this fruit a valid fruit or a valuable fruit in the sight of God? Is my life pleasing to God? I love gardening. And I started to, do my gardening at the back of the house. And there's this tomato plant that I have been very patient, fertilizing it, watering it. And it's getting this tall, and I can't even see a single flower coming out. So what I did is I cut this thing and I said, I'll give you another chance. I'll be patient with you. So I keep on doing my stuff and still branches are coming out and no flowers are coming out. So what I did is I said, I'm sorry, I have to uproot you and put you somewhere else. And I placed it somewhere else and I planted new tomatoes over there and the tomatoes are coming out. And I see flowers coming out. God is a gardener inside of us as well. And the word that he has placed in us is guaranteed to bear fruits because His seed is so powerful inside of us. This actually has been addressed by our Savior also in John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. That fruit is, once you are a gardener, which is God is a gardener, you're always looking at the possibility and the potential of fruit. Now, to separate us from the world, if we have true faith in God, it says in Romans 6, what shall we say then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one you obey, whether slaves to sin that leads to death or obedience which leads to righteousness? There is this co-worker of mine, and she loves the Lord. She loves the Lord. And I said, how's your kids? And she said, oh, they're out there shacking up, doing chasing after the world. And it's just like, it breaks my heart. If you have that potential of ministering to your children, this is the thing that bears heavy in my heart as a dad. That my kids will walk in that righteous path of the Lord and bear that fruit, that spiritual fruit that pleases God. Now, this is very important also. That spiritual fruit actually is tied up with what Elder Eric shared with us last week. It is the obedient, the esteeming of the person of Christ. A true faith and a true witness of that faith is found in a person that esteems Christ as number one. Number one, not number two. There is this scripture actually that says in the Greek, it's prototokos, meaning to say Christ should be imminent or number one. Christ said in John 14:21, whoever who has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. It's so easy to say, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. But the love is tied up with the commands, and the commands is soliciting that obedience. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and manifest myself to him. Christ will show himself to the person that truly loves him by obeying his commands. Amen? We are beyond words. Our calling is beyond words. It is soliciting obedience. True faith will always produce, and as well as false faith will also produce. Right? False faith will also produce as much as true faith will produce. That brings us to the third point here. The Word is the mirror that helps us examine ourselves and cleanses our lives. Let me read it again. The Word is the mirror that helps us examine ourselves and cleanses our lives. It's good to pause and check ourselves and sit down. I am in faith. Am I in faith in God? Really? To assess ourselves. And the mirror, which is the Lord of God, shows us whether we are in faith, in true faith or not. I just wonder, is there anybody here who went to church without looking at themselves in the mirror this morning? I guess we all, there's somebody? Who? We all check ourselves out, right? It's so important to check ourselves out. It's important also to check our faith, whether it's a legitimate faith or a fake faith. Because the mirror reveals. It says here that the Word is the mirror that releases us, that liberates us, that trains us to become like Him. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is God-breathed And it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God and the woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And that's the outcome, the good work, the manifestation of the true faith, right? And it's not easy to be rebuked. It's not easy to be reprimanded. When you look at yourself at the mirror and the Word of God, not even in the physical, in the natural realm, it's so hard to be rebuked, right? How much more should we submit ourselves to the Word of God that brings life to our spirit? Amen? For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son. We are to be conformed to become like Jesus. And the more we look like Jesus in the mirror, the better we are. Right? Our potential that pleases God is when Christ is revealed in us and through us. We become one with God. We become one with Christ. That's why the word said, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. He is already indwelt with us, and He wants Himself to be manifest through us. Remember Christ saying, I am the light of the world. And if we become one like Christ, we become lights also in the places that He has assigned us. Matthew 5, 15, 16. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Again, good deeds, it's tied up. Our faith is tied up with what we do. Do we see more of Him as we face the spiritual mirror of our life? Do we see Him? Do we see that we are crucified with Him and identified with Him in our thoughts, in our attitudes, and in our actions? Esteem the Lord Jesus Christ. Let Him work through you. That brings us to our fourth point here. The word commands responsibility. And in our scripture, 26:27, it says here, if anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, and deceives himself, and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows and in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the word. Again, you could see it, the practicality of faith. Isaiah 1:16-17 says, wash yourselves, make yourself clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from my sight. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Reprove the ruthless. Defend the orphan. Plead the case of the widow. It is dear in the heart of God that we exercise our faith, particularly and especially with those that are weak and downtrodden, those that are in doubt about their faith in God or their walk with God or their idea of God. Our faith brought by hearing the gospel requires more than making an intellectual decision or mounting a prayer. The gospel message is a call to obedience to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. The sheep will follow their shepherd in submissive obedience out of love. Faith is more than just mouthing things. There is a manifestation of what we mount and following the Lord. Now, I would like to say this too. Inside our household, of faith, there are certain times that we have this disconnection. We don't understand sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so. And it comes to us in our minds, do they have faith? Are they walking, you know, and you know, we find ourselves in that position of qualifying them. But you know what, brothers and sisters? First, look at yourself. Qualify yourself first. Remember, there's this song also, it took him just a day to do the universe. But God is not done with that sister or that brother yet. And God is not done with me yet and with you yet. But remember, it says here, once a person has truly accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, in the sight of God, their sins has been removed as far as the east is from the west. They are a new creation in Christ Jesus, and God is not done with them yet. Oneness with Christ is where you stand. Oneness with Christ is where I stand. He is still working on us. Amen? For the conclusion, there is a trap called deception that can plague a soul to uncertainty and condemnation. There's a plague. None of us in this room is perfect. Although we are in faith and we are trying to follow the Lord, we will stumble and we will fall. But your status is secure in Him. Amen? Your status could never change in Him. One could think he or she is saved, but actually she doesn't have that peace of their salvation. And because of that, go back to the mirror of the teachings of the Word, and in the sight of God Almighty, you are already accepted. But you are called to a higher level of obedience to Him. Amen? I went to HEB. And other stores. Is this true or fake? Fake? True? Is this true or fake? True? You want to bite it? Is this true or fake? Is this true or fake? Well, there's a fake one over here. We live in that place. By the way, this is fake. We live in a place that there's fake news, there's fake faces, there's fake this and fake that. Actually, have you watered this flower lately, or that plant lately? No, because it's fake. We know it's fake. Right? We need to be real, brothers and sisters. God is the God of truth. We need to be true with Him as well. We need to be true to our faith. And let your faith manifest the works that pleases Him. We are here to please Him, not to please ourselves. He is number one. Amen? Those that are hungry are welcome to eat the apple that are true apple. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you so much. We are called by faith, yes. But we are called also to a higher level of faith, which is not just mouthing things, Lord. Hallelujahs. And praise the Lord. And God is awesome and all that. We are here, O Lord God, called to be beyond the confession of our lips, which is in obedience to you and your word. Lord, help us not to be deceived. Help us not to fool ourselves. You're the God of truth, O Lord God. And we pray, O Lord God, that your truth would manifest to us and through us and in us in the places that you have called us to be. We love you, Lord. And we bless you, Lord. If there's anything, O Lord God, that hinders us to walk, O Lord God, in the liberty of truth, the truth of faith, to be a true witness for you, we pray, Father God, you are an all-consuming fire. Consume those things, O Lord God, that hinders us to be, O Lord God, what you want us to be, that people may be blessed and you will be pleased. In Christ's name, amen.